Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. I'm out west, baby. Go west, young man. I am in Ashburn, Virginia, as the Commanders get ready for the Steelers this weekend. It's funny, you know, this game has a ton of buildup, but because of the Lattimore trade, it's almost like the attention hasn't been on the game against the Steelers as much as, okay, what does this Lattimore trade do for Washington and kind of change things for the scope of this season? And I think it's important that we get back to just kind of focusing on Pittsburgh for the weekend. I know in the locker room yesterday talking with players, it doesn't seem like the players have the same conversational habits. Like they are excited about Lattimore. That certainly was a topic, but I think – you know, the way Dan Quinn coaches and the way this team is built, it's week to week. The focus is week to week. And this week it's Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh's a real good team, man. You know, Mike Tomlin hasn't had a losing season ever, which is just one of those absolutely banana stats in 18 years. He also doesn't seem like, when you look at Mike Tomlin, the Steelers coach, he doesn't seem capable of having been an NFL head coach for 18 years. Like, he just looks perpetually young. In 18 seasons, Tomlin has won about 64% of his games. He's 179, 102, and 2. Two ties for good measure. Obviously has a Super Bowl ring, been to another one. This weekend's going to be no joke. Dan Quinn and Mike Tomlin go way back. Those guys have been, I think DQ was a graduate assistant on the William & Mary squad that was Tomlin's senior year. Like, I think Dan Quinn coached Mike Tomlin in some capacity at William & Mary, which is just crazy. Logan Paulson in today. B-Mitch got stuff going on. Logan, what's up, dude?
Not much, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Just
just kind of reminiscing about coaching staffs and trees and all sorts of stuff.
Well, dude, it's crazy for those two to have that kind of relationship that spans 40 years, 30 years.
I always think it's crazy. And I mean, obviously, this is an example that's relevant to this weekend, but there are these little hubs where it's 12 NFL coaches run the same college staff someplace, and they coach four players that became GAs the next year. And whatever it is about those environments that makes these guys want to coach is something that should be studied.
Well, it really is. And, like, how does it work for some of them and not for some of them?
Right.
B was on the Andy Reid Philly teams, right at, like, the turn of the millennium, I guess, millennia, whatever the plural would be there.
You make him sound so old when you say that.
Right, like early 2000s.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's way better.
And if you look at the coaches that came from those staffs, I mean, still coaching right now. Yeah. Obviously, Reid's still coaching. McDermott in Buffalo. Peterson in Jacksonville. Ron was here. Mm-hmm. Harbaugh. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And if you go further back to Holmgren's staff in Green Bay, then you get, like, that's kind of where Gruden broke in.
Yeah. And then, like, the McVays.
Sure.
And all these guys.
And you were here. I mean, the Shanny era here.
Yeah.
You had all those young guys. I asked Will Montgomery this maybe last week or something.
But we gave you a great answer.
I think he kills it in the tech sector or whatever.
Yeah.
But if that dude ever wanted to do this, he'd be very good at it.
Yeah.
My question for you, you were on those staffs. You knew all those guys as, I mean, hell, most of them are still young relatively, but they were young men then. That, like, when you're a young assistant position coach in the NFL, you are grinding. You're not making a ton of cash. And a lot of those dudes kind of live it up a little bit, too, when they have a couple nights off. Who's the biggest surprise out of all that group that's having so much success?
That's a tough question. You know, obviously Sean, everyone talks about how he was kind of the boy wonder, and it was very obvious. Same thing with Kyle. Like, they had that kind of seemingly natural trajectory. I think one guy is Matt LaFleur. Obviously, Matt LaFleur's a great guy, really smart. But, you know, when I met him and I knew him in the very beginning, he was the quarterback coach here. And he was very kind of quiet. He wasn't that confident yet. I mean, he was an awesome guy to be around. He was great in front of the team. But he hadn't had that kind of developmental moment yet. And then I remember talking to Matt Ryan about him when he was in Atlanta. And he said he grew up a lot there because he kind of had to manage Matt's personality, had to manage Kyle's personality, had to manage their relationship as kind of the in-between. And I think that probably gave him a lot of confidence, according to Matt Ryan, to kind of grow up and kind of be a more assertive personality, someone that had the confidence to get up in front of the room. Another one is Mike McDaniels. Mike McDaniels is one of the smartest human beings you'll ever be around, but he's a little bit unusual. And so, sure. You know, you're used to kind of a very specific type of person in front of the meeting room.
I mean, specific to McDaniels, he also had his own demons, had to work through all that. And I imagine you probably weren't aware of it.
I wasn't aware of it.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, like, you know, you're kind of, you know, the crew cut, the guy that gets up and sounds a certain way, Sean McVay-ish.
Yeah.
And then, you know, for Mike to be able to get up in front of the team and relate in the way that he does, I wasn't sure the NFL player was ready for a guy like that, because he's plenty smart. He's one of the smartest people you've ever met. Played at Yale.
Yeah.
He's incredibly smart. He loves ball. Great guy. But again, like, a little unusual. And for him to kind of have the confidence and grow up the same way Matt did, and for the NFL locker room to accept him, I think speaks to the direction the NFL is going, and the type of – and the other thing I think it's cool, and this is probably a larger discussion, is – leadership and how it looks different for different people, and you can kind of mold that to fit your personality.
Players not plays, right?
Yeah.
Like, you got to, like, you can't try to be what you're not.
Like, you can't try to be Bill Belichick.
Right. No. It's not just coaching, right? I'm not the same dude as Grant.
I was going to say, that's a great point.
You run different shows. Yeah. You got to be what you are, and then push the gas as hard as you can and try to achieve in your own lane.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to be something else, it generally, like, in a lot of ways, I think Ron was kind of screwed here because of Dan and then the demise of the organization, frankly.
Yeah.
Like, over the
kind of all happening around the same time.
Yeah, during that, like, F it, we're going to sell.
Yeah.
Timeline, things were really bleak out here. Obviously, it's a different world now. But I also think Ron tried to become something else here. Like, he wanted to be this, like, CEO looking over everything. And I said this then. I was like, dude, you're a linebacker on the 85 Bears. Just go be a badass. And who cares what gets tweeted?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think you see that happen throughout the NFL. And, like, I'm curious if you've ever heard me say this, but I say it's the league of self-preservation.
Mm.
Because once you make it into pro football, you don't want to do anything else.
Right.
So many coaches, players, front office people will do anything they can to just keep their job. And sometimes that goal of just maintaining your position doesn't run parallel to winning.
I think that's 100% right. And I think it's a larger discussion about whether they feel like they don't want to do anything else, or they feel like they can't do anything else, because you put so much time equity into this industry.
Totally.
And so you do see a lot of people that kind of say, oh, I gotta worry about myself. And that's one thing I will say, having played for Dan and having worked with him, you know, in the tangential way that we work with him now, he is a guy that doesn't really care about that. He cares about self-growth. And he cares about growth of other people as well. And I think that's what makes him so special, is seeing him now in this opportunity. He's different than he was in 2017 when I saw him when I was in Atlanta. And that's cool that you're that self-aware and that you can get that done. Because, like you're saying, like, a lot of guys, like, you get in those meeting rooms. Like, I've had position coaches, guys that I have a lot – or that I had a lot of respect for, who would tell you one thing in the meeting. You'd go execute on the practice field. The head coach would get pissed off at you, and you'd be like, that's what I was told to do. And then you'd kind of look to that coach and be like, can you take this bullet for me? Because I'll take it for you if you want me to, and they won't say anything. And I think it's a jacked-up industry in that regard, because it's a lot of money.
It really is.
It's a lot of prestige, and it takes a special kind of courage to stand up in those moments and do what's right all the time.
And not everybody does. And I think that's what fans don't always see, especially you get to this time in the calendar. You look at what's going on in Chicago.
Oh.
With the game here, the corner is jawing with fans during the last play. The next week, their star receiver they just paid a ton of cash to, and I think DJ Moore's a great player, and by all accounts of my interactions, a good dude, and he's walking off the field. You've got a mess going out there, right? So the staff and the players probably recognize the coach is getting fired. Like, the next 2 months are a straight-up scramble drill to, am I going to be able to keep my job? How do I show ownership? Like, and when that starts to happen late in seasons, it's just a disaster. And it's toxic and all of these things. That's not what's happening here, though.
It's not what's happening here, which is nice. Nice change.
Dude.
Because the past couple of years, it's felt that way.
Well, and not to oversimplify something, but they make the trade for Marshon Lattimore, right? Which is a real, hey, we're in this thing kind of move. Like, we're not backing down. We're here to compete. We'll see what happens. There's no guarantees in life, no guarantees in pro football, but they're here to compete. And to your earlier point about DQ, that he's for self-growth, and you could tell the earnestness with that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's sincere. It's genuine, yeah. Right? And how he's pushed that to this team in a lot of ways. So you trade for Marshon Lattimore. Guy's a four-time Pro Bowler, Rookie of the Year. He's an established NFL veteran.
Yep.
Got the all-important second contract, like all the things, right? He wears number 23. Chris Rodriguez, I talked to him yesterday in the locker room. Rodriguez has been up and down from the practice squad this year, full on the roster last year. But Rodriguez was just an integral part of a road win in the division. Like,
yeah.
Not, I wouldn't call him a necessarily like established NFL vet or anything, but he's been a part of this team, was draft pick, all that. Immediately, he just gives Lattimore the 23. And I kind of looked around in the equipment room, like the available numbers for a running back aren't that cool, like just to be honest. But I asked him about it in the locker room. He talked about it. He's like, man, I've been here a year and a half. Like, this dude's a vet. I understand the big picture of things. And I just think that is a microcosm that speaks to what they're building here, and it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and just to talk about Chris Rodriguez for a second, like, I've had multiple interactions with him. He is one of the coolest team-first guys that I've ever met. You know, like, he works hard in the weight room. He works hard on the field. Like, he is a kind of an archetypical, stereotypical, maybe is a better word, like Dan Quinn guy. You know, like, he's team first, he works hard, he's about the grind, he's about ball. And so, again, like, this is an opportunity for him to make probably $50,000, you know, making Marshon Lattimore by the number. But I also think that, like, he understands it, and that's a really cool thing. It's cool. And I think, you know, it speaks to the type of individual he is, it speaks to the culture, and it also speaks to a larger vision, like you're talking about, of the types of guys that Dan and this organization want in the building. And I'll tell you, like, people talk about this all the time. Oh, we need to be tougher. We need to be, you know, more self-driven. Like, some of that is just bringing the right people in.
Sure.
And I think that's what you see here. Like, it would have been so easy to let Chris Rodriguez walk. But you bring him back to practice squad, you prioritize him. And I think you're prioritizing the person. You're not necessarily prioritizing the player, but the type of individual that he is, knowing that he's going to get better. And I think you see it in the game against the New York Giants last weekend.
And the practice squad, the rule changes, I mean, COVID messed up the whole planet, right? But there were how it changed and restructured NFL rosters has been for the better.
I think so, too.
Because practice squad guys are now basically part of the team.
100%.
With the Saturday night elevations has changed it. But they also travel with the team now.
Yeah.
Like, they're just around more. There's far less of a separation. And they're just in the locker room all the time. Like, it's just the practice squad is really an extension of the team. You hear DQ talk about coach at 70. Like, they mean that. They consider this 1 to 70. I think one of the biggest problems during Snyder's entire era, but then particularly, like, kind of from once Bruce got involved, is they zeroed in on, like, the four players that mattered, and everybody else was kind of an afterthought. And that's just a disastrous way to run a football team, a sport where you have 22 starters and 40 dudes that are going to play a lot every Sunday.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
Well, I think the thing to me, too, is it allows you to be a little bit more of a developmental league, keep guys that are fringe around organizations for longer. And I think when you look at some of the best organizations in the NFL, they do a great job of developing talent internally. And I think there's a lot of value there. And if you're looking for competitive edges in the NFL, this is a larger kind of thought experiment, is if you are really good at developing your practice squad players, they can become contributors to your roster in 2 years, and they're around. They know the offense. They know the culture. They know what you need. And if you can get that physical improvement from them on the field, you're going to be a dangerous team. And so I think, I think Dan understands that with the comments. That's how he was in it. Like, I remember in Atlanta, we were always talking about Atlanta. We used to have a player-led developmental period every Wednesday. So we'd stay out, and I was the oldest person in the tight end room, and we would do tight end drills. Like, we'd run routes or we'd do blocking drills, and I led that drill. And that was Dan was like, we need to make sure we develop these guys. And then on Friday, after the walkthrough, they would have a full kind of 7-on-7 period with the practice squad guys so that they were getting their reps and developing in the offense. And I just think to myself, like, that's the right way to approach this because it adds so much depth and continuity to your organization. And you just, and again, it speaks to the importance of coaches and making sure that they are developmental guys. Because for a long time, I remember having conversations with coaches when I first got here and then being straight up, I was a rookie. They were like, it's not my job to develop you. It's your job to develop yourself. There's truth there. You can help me develop myself. You can kind of give me the framework. And I think if you can help some of these guys come along, like think about Chris Rodriguez. Like,
just because that's true doesn't mean it's necessarily right. You can do more.
Yes, right, 100%. And so I think about like the Chris Rodriguez example because we're talking about him. Like think about
the kid Yankoff to go to tight end position.
100%. Yeah. Like he's an athletic, high upside guy, good on teams. If he develops
his ass off.
Yeah, if he develops a little bit on teams, like you have a guy that could potentially replace Zach Ertz in a couple of years from an athletic standpoint.
Well, and dude, just from a straight-up roster, like, building, Bates in his third year, right?
Yeah.
Going into fourth, if that dude can – now, John is a dog-ass blocker. I don't think you'd be in a hurry to move on. But, like, you can try to build your own succession plans if it works right.
And just, like, how he fits – and I think that's the other thing. It's like, this is your first year. Development isn't just the tactical, technical element of the position. It's helping him establish his role and understanding the techniques you want him to deploy in terms of blocking some of these runs. And
totally.
I think that's something, again, if you have a good coaching staff, and David Rye, the tight end coach, does a great job of that.
I think he could be a head coach someday. I think Blau's going to be an OC someday. I think Simmons on the defensive side of things is going to be a DC someday.
Yeah.
I think if this thing goes well, Joe Witt's getting interviews. If it ain't this cycle, it's next cycle.
Yeah.
Like, this staff seems loaded again, and I've seen loaded staffs before, and then they weren't for a while. It just seems different.
And it just shows you how important coaching is and getting the right people in. And I think,
not to mention Cliff, who's obviously going to get the pick of the litter.
And I think Cliff, you know, you'd have to ask him this, but to me it feels like he's perfectly content, at least for the next
100%.
Year or two, of doing this.
Well, it helps that Arizona's still paying him head coaching money. But, dude, if you're Cliff and you've got Jaden – and you've got DQ, who's an awesome dude to work for, but also takes all the pressure off. Cliff has to do media once a week. He doesn't seem to mind it. He comes in, he tells him, he's like one funny one-liner every week, and then he's like, all right, see y'all next week. Like, he doesn't have any of the stuff involved with head coaching. And you continue to build this thing with Jaden.
Well, do you remember like when he left Arizona, that was the thing he talked about, just like how it pulled his focus away from the thing he really wanted to do, which was be an offensive coordinator and call plays.
Right.
And I think if you're getting back into the league after your hiatus, you know, to Thailand or wherever he went, like just making sure you feel good about your role in the end. I remember this is a really interesting kind of...
We do have to go to break. I'm going to try to keep us on time.
Yeah, so right now? Yeah, we'll hold that thought.
Hold that thought. Real quick, just to wrap up the C-Rod thing, I thought this made a lot of sense that DQ specifically talked about Chris Rodriguez in his opening statement yesterday. He said, I think Chris Rodriguez was the latest to show that he's down for the cause and just wanted to make sure that's the responsibility of all 70 on the roster. When we're developing people, it's to get ready to play. I think that's really smart, heady stuff from DQ. He wasn't asked. He said it on his own. impressive stuff from the head coach as they move into this new world with Marshawn Lattimore on the roster. The other thing that was really smart and impressive is you could save money working with Paul Henry's Windows this month. Paul Henry's done a hell of a job for me at my house, replaced all my windows, all my doors. When you get in this weird weather pattern where it's still chilly in the morning and it's going to be 80 in the afternoon, having good windows and doors at your home makes a ton of difference. All month long, you get $100 off each window with a 5-window minimum and $500 off each door. And when you purchase soft light windows, you get an additional 7% off each window. I'm telling you, call Paul right now. Whatever it is you're trying to do to your home, Paul can help you out. And it's a family-owned business. Paul himself comes to your house, has a conversation, gives you an estimate, and isn't always looking to sell you the most expensive stuff. He did that for me. He took our price down. I thought something was going to cost me X. It was X minus Y. Call Paul Henry's Window Installation today and tell him B. Mitch and Finley sent you. Paul Henry's.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Windows.com, you're clear. Home improvement choice. AB had some stuff to take care of. I can't feel my face when I'm with you. All right, stream's up and running. Logan, do you know what the link is for the stream?
The link?
Yeah.
Like the one
not
that
the
I,
stadium
the
in
one,
Philly.
The one that I just clicked on. I just clicked on a link.
Right, but like if we're telling people where to go, but you know what it is? Because I don't.
I don't know either.
I butcher it. You want to guess?
Is it something 980?
Nope. We're on 106.7.
Oh, 106.7. So sorry. So sorry about that. Jeez, Pete. That's my bad.
Just
sorry,
sorry, CK. The big old FM signal. All right, well, we're going to figure that out. Let's say good morning to the boys in the aquarium. Hello, Jeff. Hello, Landfill. How's everybody doing?
Great, man.
Jeff, what's the link, dude?
It's 106.7 The Fan on YouTube.
Dude. I was close.
You were not close. All right. Let's see who chimed in first in the chat. I got to scroll way up.
Do they leave questions in there or what? Just like, hey, you're awesome, JP. Love how your voice sounds.
Very rarely do I get any feedback like that.
Really?
Very, very rarely.
Seriously.
All right. Dennis Bailey, first in the chat this morning. He said, good morning. He spelled it M-A-W-N-I-N.
Morning.
Yeah, I kind of like that. Good morning to you. no, I mean, I get some – usually in the chat, it's just an all Joan fest. Like, people are just making fun of each other, fun of us. Yeah, which is fine. I'm,
no, that's cool.
I'm here for that.
I'm down.
Although, somebody's clearly listening. Lace434 just wrote, hey, you're awesome, JP. Your voice sounds awesome. and then T.W. said, I'm shocked Rooster didn't burst through the door when Logan said 980.
Oh.
I wanted to ask you a question, and it's a question I've been getting a lot lately, and I think unfortunately, a lot of fans, I think there's kind of like the fantasy footballization of fandom, where if there's not, if there aren't statistical, like, if a guy doesn't have stats, then people are like, oh, why isn't he playing well? I think Ben Sennett's playing quite well for a rookie.
Oh, yeah.
He's super tough, super physical.
Yeah.
The stats haven't really followed in the past game.
Sure.
And a lot of people are like, oh, man, they got to get Sennett going. I think when you have a top five offense, you don't necessarily need to get anyone going. You just keep doing what you do. But what do you think of Senate so far, and what do you think kind of happens going forward here?
Yeah, I think Senate's doing a really good job. I think the physicality that he plays with, the versatility he brings to the offense, that kind of Kyle Juszczyk fullback element is really, really valuable. So I think there are times where you're kind of like, that's probably a mental mistake that happens, you know, once or twice a game. He's a young guy trying to figure it out. But I think in terms of role, like him and John Bates, man, like the Bash brothers out there, it's pretty exciting to watch. And I know there's not a lot of catches, but like that's not his role right now. You know, John Bates doesn't have a lot of catches, and you don't say he's playing bad football. It's like my role is to be physical, block in space. When I do have an opportunity to catch football, I'm going to catch it. And that's not to say he can't do that. And I think they'll use him more as his career evolves in that way. But
I think for Senate and for Luke, the second half of the season here could be where you start to see more consistent offensive production.
Yeah, and I think Luke's probably, I would probably put him ahead of Ben, because Ben's role right now is something very, very specific.
Right.
But I do think Luke, he runs good routes, he gets open, he has a great feel for zones. And right now I think his production hasn't been there because Terry and Noah Brown are playing so well.
Right.
And Zach's playing so well.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, people are like, oh, we got to get these guys more touches. They're rookie guys in their first year. They're playing well. You know, like when you watch the film, they're doing what they're supposed to do, and they're doing it well. I think Luke plays with a great physicality, much like Ben. It's really nice when he's on the field because he, you know, as a chipper, he does a great job. The understanding of zones and coverage is really, really high with him. So I think as they go, they'll get more involved. And I think there'll be games where maybe Ben has three catches and maybe Luke has four catches. Because, like, that's the great thing about Cliff, in my estimation, is he's not going to force feed touches to people.
Right. Well, and I think it's important to recognize that they're having really good rookie seasons, even if necessarily the production from a, you know, can I play this dude in fantasy or can I bet on this dude for an anytime touchdown? Like, so much has changed in how a lot of people view football because of sports betting and like just the super popularity of fantasy. Like, those dudes, you probably shouldn't be betting on them.
Don't bet on them. But this is something I have a really hard time with fantasy. When people are like, oh, who should I put in for fantasy? And then people list a bunch of names. I'm like, they're good football players. And that's how I judge it, right? Like, when people are like, which tight end should I pick? I'm like, I don't know who's going to have the most catches. I don't know who's going to have the most touchdowns. But if I was making a team, I want those guys on my team. You know, like Zach Ertz, I think, is a great example of that.
So I think people don't recognize how well he's playing.
Zach.
Not to 33 catches, 350 yards, a touchdown. But
it's just his, like, if you don't recognize
his ability
like,
to
what
get
are you watching?
Open,
you know?
His ability to run routes is just, I mean, he is really, really good. His footwork, all of it.
Yes, I think that's the thing. Is like his superpower is maybe not his top-end velocity. He's not as explosive as he was when he was younger, but he gets it. He gets how to, like, so, for example, you know, like we got, like, you know, one plug coverage, and there's a guy in man coverage. He's outside leverage. Zach knows how to stem that outside leverage player enough to get away from the plug player, that kind of middle defender, and create a throwing window for Jaden and win consistently versus man-to-man coverage and make contested catches. And so when you look at it, you should look up his third down catch percentage if it's on there. But it's very, very high. And it makes sense because Jaden can go to him in big moments and get these big completions.
How about this? I don't have specific third downs. I'd have to dig a little deeper.
Yeah, we're not into digging here.
Well, we're also live on the air.
Yeah.
Ertz has 33 catches this year.
Yeah.
19 of them have gone for
touchdowns. Yeah, that's a perfect statistic. Yeah, we don't need to dig for that. So that's exactly what I'm talking
about. And
that's
almost two-thirds.
Yes, yeah, 100%.
And I think it was a really smart move organizationally. And, like, it's funny because the coaching stuff, we say DQ, and the front office stuff, we say leaders. I imagine getting Ertz was a far more, like, team concept because I imagine Cliff reached out to him. Those two are tight.
They're tight.
You know what I mean? But rookie quarterback, who obviously is a hell of a player and has hit the ground running in a million ways, the best thing for a rookie quarterback is to give him a big tight end target for third downs.
And it's not even – it's just a guy who, like you said, like this is his value. He understands how to get open, understands coverages, and is a good, friendly target for the quarterback. Like, that's it. And bringing that guy in –
that's really good.
That's a good thing.
Yeah,
that's a good thing to have.
Right.
And I think the other thing is it's – like, when you are in a critical situation, like going for first down, for example, And Jaden Daniels can look to somebody and know that they're going to get open. There is value there. There is confidence there. And so that's what Zach gives you. That's what Terry gives you. Noah gives you an element of that. And I think that's something that when you're talking about the most important thing about this year is developing Jaden Daniels, you brought in somebody who helps you facilitate that and that you know and is a good dude and can lead and help mentor a young tight end if you need to. So I think there are lots of positive boxes checked there.
This is really funny. You played here for Jay, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you know Jay, he's just funny. Like he's a
funny dude.
But as Jay has become more and more of like a media person, the dude coached in the NFL, I mean, he was a head coach for 6 or 7 years?
Yeah. OC for a long time.
He's got people all over the league. And I assume this is about Trevor Lawrence. Jay Gruden just tweeted out, sources say surgery for Trevor. Damn, get well, man. Hope sources are wrong. I just think that's so funny. I don't know. I assume he's talking about Trevor Lawrence. Is there another Trevor that's hurt that we may or may not know about?
I don't know. That would be the one, I would think.
I know he's been limited at practice. He's got a shoulder injury.
Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So if this is Jay breaking news, it's just a hysterical
way
to do it.
It's just a funny way to do it.
I love hope sources are wrong. because I feel like
if you were writing that tweet, how would you write it? Because you're a pro's pro.
Trevor Lawrence. Either sources tell us Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence is headed for surgery, or Trevor Lawrence headed for surgery per source.
That's how pro does it.
And you try to maybe give a little more information, like expected to go on IR or expected to miss 3 to 6. You know, whatever.
I got a question for you. When you say per source, is that just like your mom giving you that, or is like what's like what qualifies?
That's
as
a great
a source?
Question because this is not understood by a lot of people.
Yeah,
especially in the Twitter, Instagram era. Of
it
like
gets crazy.
Trade deadline. A source that you can report information from is somebody with direct knowledge.
I see.
Like
they're like his agent, or
I mean, in a scenario like that, it'd be somebody from the team, but like the coach or the GM,
right?
Not the dude that works in ticket sales.
Not the quality control guy.
Right, yeah. Right. It would be somebody directly from the team or him, the player,
right.
The player's agent.
Right.
Maybe you could go to a publicist if you have a relationship and, like, you know they're locked in. And
right.
Typically, like, some people have their agent and then there's, like, a different dude that handles their public stuff. But when the publicist is in-house with the agency, you could trust that more. But it's someone that knows, right? Not anytime it's a secondhand, like, yo, I heard, that you cannot report.
That's what I'm saying. And you see people doing that all the time.
Because especially as, like, the world expands and there's like, yeah, man, my brother is an agent and told me.
Yes.
Like, you can't, like, my cousin. Yeah. Anytime it's removed, one step removed, that is not reportable. And to actually report something, you need to get it from two people, not one.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. The actual, like, journalism rule, and the more I do all this other stuff, the less I feel like a straight-up journalist anymore. But, like, to actually report something, you have to get a story and then verify it.
Yeah, I think that's – I wish people understood that more because I see people talking about stuff, even on some people, like, in this sports community here.
Totally.
Not necessarily on the beat because we got a pretty locked-in beat. But it's like, oh, I heard this and this, and, like, you can't tweet that. Like, you don't know.
Right.
Like, you haven't talked. You haven't talked to anybody else. Like, or I saw this guy at practice with this on his ankle. Oh, he's.
Yo, the Twitter doctors that seen
are
a video.
Wild.
And then people like just believe it that it's correct. and the other part of it is, if you do get information like that, right? The right way to handle things is not to run to Twitter. Say it's something about a player on this team. Mm. You call the team and you're like, hey, I know this. And depending, time gets involved, and if you're going to lose the scoop, like, there's a lot of factors. But you always want to give whatever the subject of the news is a heads up you have the news.
I see.
And sometimes they're like, yo, here's the context. Can you please hold off on this?
Right.
Like, as you build relationships and start
to – I was going to say, because you want to make sure relationships are maintained.
Totally.
Like, it's important to kind of scoop and be the first one to get it, but also you don't want to damage your relationship with the organization,
or be wrong, or not have the full story. Like, there's There's a lot of ways things can
That's been interesting because sometimes I think I thought I've had a scoop or some information before, and I've gone and talked to either the individual or the coach or the agent about it. And that's not really my job, so I don't do this often. But they're like, that's actually not correct. It's actually XYZ. And you're like, oh, that makes way more sense, actually. I'm really glad I didn't go spouting off at the mouth about that.
Interesting times when everybody's in a hurry to get retweets. Coming up at 11, Ray Fittipaldo joins us from Pittsburgh to preview the Steelers. Next, Alex Ovechkin on fire. It was so pleasant to hear.
It is very pleasant.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Logan Paulson sitting in for B. Mitch today. We went from a running back to a tight end. I want to at least make mention of this. Did you watch Caps at all last night, Logan?
Me?
Do you watch the Caps?
I am a hockey player. My son's a hockey player. We do watch the Caps, but I was at hockey practice with my son. And then, as you know, get home at 8 o'clock, and it's kind of bedtime, kind of wrangling the munchkins. So
I know that world. You know. I had to go. I feel bad for my wife, kind of. I tape a show on Wednesday nights at NBC,
yeah.
My All Ears show. It's on YouTube if you want to go watch it. It's really fun, and I love the vehicle, but it's just one more night I'm not home for bedtime. And my wife's texting me, and I don't know how well it went. And my five-year-old is just hell on wheels, like at all times, man. Caps had a good win last night, though. They were playing Nashville, which is a good team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They win 3-2 with Ovi putting one away late.
No kidding.
Yeah, dude. So he is now, I mean, you know what needs, maybe it already exists, but if it doesn't, it needs to exist. There needs to be an account, like an Ovi tracker of where
on
we're
Twitter
at.
Or something.
Yeah, on Twitter, of where Ovi is at in his quest to break Gretzky's record.
How far is he off right now?
I think it's 33. Landfill, do you
dude,
know?
That's close.
He would tie him if he gets 33 more. 34 to pass.
34 to pass. He's got 8 in 12 games.
Dude, that's
he's just
awesome.
On fire.
It's, he's, what is he? He's 30.
39.
Dude, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, he's just got, like, such a unique role.
He just turned 39 in September.
But still, though, you know, he's got such a unique role in terms of the goal scorer and how he plays the game and finding those opportunities.
Well, it was funny, dude. So Ben Sennett was a big hockey player growing up.
Yeah.
And I was talking with him yesterday in the locker room because he hasn't been to a Caps game yet. And I was like, dude, I think you're going to love it. Like,
yeah. Well, it's a great environment.
The vibe and the game production, all of that, they do so well. And then to also have a team – they're on fire to start the season, dude. They are tied for first in the Metro with the Devils and the Hurricanes. Like, they've beat the Rangers. Like, they've beat some good teams. I think Nashville's pretty good that they beat last night. I guess maybe they're off to a bad start, Nashville is. But they've already played Vegas. It's fun what's going on over there. And I need to get to a game. When was the first Caps game you went to?
Honestly, it was like this last year, 2 years ago.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All the years you were here as a player?
Yeah. Well, you know, I had the 5 years here, and then I was out a little bit.
Sure.
You know? And then with my kids' sports, like I'm telling you, like every weekend we're doing something. And my son does travel hockey. He's been doing it for the last 3 years. So we're out of town all the time.
Dude,
so.
You should put this on your calendar because we're going to try to go because it works out for the kids. The Friday after Thanksgiving.
Okay.
They have a 3 o'clock game.
Nice. No, I think that would be great. Like, stuff like that. You know, I was trying to get tickets for a while for him. And then, you know, it's funny, like, through his hockey team, we've been to 2 games since then.
Cool.
So, it's a really awesome environment for sure.
Well, also, I don't think this will put you in a weird spot. But, like, the years you were playing in Washington was what, like 11 to?
It was 10 to 15.
10 to 15, okay. The organization didn't have, like, the best, let's be cool with all the other pro sports organizations
I mean,
in town.
There were guys that could get you tickets and stuff, but they weren't, like, affiliated with
Schuster.
The team. Yeah, Schuster. Schuster, yeah. Give him a shout-out.
Right. And, like, now the organizations just have these really positive relationships with all the teams across town, and it's very different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's a big step forward.
I do have a crazy story. I remember when I got here in 2010 – Cooley, after the game, you know, you kind of hang out in the parking lot there, the players' parking lot, and I look over, and I'm, you know, getting ready to leave. And
after the game, 2010, Cooley.
Cooley.
Is he playing at this point, or is he doing the radio
He's
now?
Playing.
Okay.
And he's like, you know, one of my heroes, best in the NFL, blah, 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 and he's wrestling this big dude in the parking lot. And so I walk over, and there's a little circle of people around them, and he's wrestling Ovechkin in the parking lot.
Had there been any beers?
I mean,
what game was it?
I don't remember, but I just remember like one of those like kind of core memories where you're like, what?
That is awesome. And honestly, I know Chris better than I know Alex, but I know them both a little bit. Totally tracks.
Yeah, totally tracks.
That totally.
Like, it's not like, you know, if you know both, if you know Cooley, it makes 100% sense. And from what I understand about Ovechkin, very similar.
He's a legit football fan.
Is
like,
he?
Yeah. Like he, I think it's gotten to the point now where I'll know he's coming to a game, but he doesn't want to have to do like the media and everything. Like he just wants to be able to come to the game and chill and watch it. I think he brings his kid. I think he has a son. I think he brings his son, and I think. They're legit football fans.
That's cool. Yeah. That's really cool.
We used to, before he got traded, Garnet Hathaway used to play for the Caps, and he came on with us every week. The Caps have a fantasy football league.
Really?
Like, yeah. it's
That's cool.
They're all into it, man.
That's awesome.
And, yeah.
It's interesting because, like, a lot of, you know, like European, Russian, Canadian players, and so you wouldn't think football would be that
They've
big
been here long enough,
that
though,
it works
you
out.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think – And so apparently somebody just tweeted this to me. This exists. Oh, my God. This is really funny. Quick break from the Ovechkin goal tracker. So we mentioned that Jay Gruden kind of broke this news for Trevor Lawrence.
And it's not true.
So Jay tweeted out, sources say surgery for Trevor. Damn, get well, man. Hope sources are wrong. Ian Rappaport just quote tweeted him and said, no surgery scheduled, Jay. There are several options immediate and down the road. That's one of them. He's considered day-to-day with a left shoulder. But as he considers these options, Trevor Lawrence likely will not play Sunday, and Mac Jones is the backup. So he's not wrong necessarily, but he may not have had the whole story.
He's not
either.
The pro. He's out of his lane a little bit. Out of his lane. You know, we've all done that before.
That's awesome. So here's the account. You know what? I'm going to press follow right now. Bang. I'll never miss an update. The Ovechkin goal tracker, at Ovechkin goal. Alex Ovechkin has scored goal number 861, 34 goals to pass Wayne Gretzky for most of all time.
Oh, my God.
Well, dude, think about this. They had a lockout year that he missed a whole year of his career.
861?
He missed a whole year of his career. And then the COVID year they shut down, he was cruising.
Yeah.
Like, if just the COVID year doesn't happen, he's probably at 875 or something. Watching Alex Ovechkin play hockey for the Washington Capitals is one of the great joys of my life. And I think he completely – like, I grew up here. I always loved the Caps. They were always my team. I used to go to games at the Cap Center, et cetera. But, like, he completely changed what hockey means to this city.
Mm.
Because all of a sudden, young boys are playing – when I was a kid – I knew two dudes that played hockey.
Yeah, it definitely has brought it to the area.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When we come back, we're going to preview Commanders Steelers. What a Week 10 matchup this is.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile.
Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.